Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:41 British Summer Time. Today is April 19th. Well, really quite an interesting day today with something of a mini perfect storm that looked on the outset to be quite powerful. But it remains to be seen whether that really will turn out to be the case. On the one hand, we had China announcing on Saturday that it was going to tighten up considerably on the property market, and that had a rather large knock-on effect for the domestic stock market, and indeed in Hong Kong and Taiwan as well. But elsewhere in Asia, particularly some of the better performing commodity-related markets, you didn't have that same pullback at all. So the effect was really relatively muted in Indonesia, Malaysia, and Singapore. That's not, of course, to say that they're not pulling back, but certainly not in the same sort of dynamic fashion that we saw in domestic Chinese shares. It is also of interest that on the Chinese market, you had the futures debuting on Friday, and that's the first time that investors in China have had the opportunity to hedge, so it may have had something of a knock-on effect with the additional tightening measures announced then on the Saturday. But the open interest on that future is only about 3,500 contracts, so relative to the size of the market, it's still really quite insignificant. And the other interesting factoid with regard to China was that there were only 13 shares down their full daily limit, and that's out of, on the A shares, that's nearly 700 shares. Now, there were the vast majority of shares were down on the day, but with a cap on the actual size of the decline that can occur in one day, and only 13 of them actually hitting that cap, it suggests that while this was a significant pullback, it wasn't an all-out panic either, and that would fall into very much the same case with the vast majority of other stock markets. Now, on Friday, we had a rather large pullback by some of the US and European indices. And today in Europe, you had a certain amount of follow-through. I should also mention in Australia, the ASX pulled back and the Nikkei put was down by 1.75% as well. So markets that have been performing well, and indeed most markets, remain in a corrective phase. But it now appears that it's not all going to be one way. In Europe today, the vast majority of these indices paired their decline quite considerably. And in the USA, as we approach the close, the Dow Jones is up 54, the S&P is up by 2, and the Nasdaq is just down on the day very slightly. The TSX in Canada is down just 4 points, 0.04 of 1%. And Brazil, back below the 70,000 level, is down about 2/3 of 1% today. In the precious metals, very similar story, where you have the gain, sorry, the loss was paired really quite significantly, and in the case of palladium, it finished up on the day. Platinum finished up on the day by $5. Silver finished up on the day, having had a look at 1749 in the morning, closed out at 1771, and gold, having been as low as $1,124, closed the day at 1134. So we're getting tails on some of these daily candles, and even with the continued worries about the eruption and the travel disruptions that we have in Europe, and the Goldman lawsuit, and worry about the extent to which that is going to spread out and affect other banks, and with the Chinese tightening, and you put that on top of all of these markets being relatively overextended relative to their moving averages and having been up in a large number of cases, 9 or even 10 weeks on the trot, then we are in a scenario where this is a corrective type environment. And Because so many of these stock markets and industrial commodities, particularly, had become relatively overextended compared to their 200-day moving averages, the likelihood remains that we have probably moved into a more corrective phase, which will, in some cases, be characterized by a ranging consolidation, and others will pull back more sharply to test underlying trading. When you relate that back to how China has been doing, China's been underperforming. So with today's downward dynamic, that really does begin to start to put pressure on this ranging consolidation that's been underway since August of last year. But the February low, upon which we've put a certain amount of emphasis since then, hasn't been taken out. And if the market can rally from here, and it really would need to start to rally relatively quickly, that would sustain the medium-term bullish outlook. Otherwise, it looks like we could be in for some lower to lateral ranging, which could delay China's recovery for at least a few months. So it remains all to play for in here. The fact that we've had so many markets find support and put downside tails on so many of these candles does suggest that it isn't going to be all one way, and that while we have probably entered a corrective phase, that it remains for the vast majority of markets nothing more than a reversionary process back towards the 200-day moving average, and which is rising and rising quickly for a large number of these markets, by virtue of the fact that they have rallied so remarkably well over the last 10 weeks since early February. The US dollar was a little bit weaker in here today against most currencies, and that is against a background of having been stronger earlier on in the day. So it's not all one way for the US dollar either. And elsewhere in the bond markets, treasuries were a little bit easier today, having been really quite firm earlier on. And the Australian 10-year appears to be bouncing from the lower side of its range. So that's also suggesting that there isn't the flight to quality that one would associate with a major sell-off, or a very panicky sell-off that we have seen probably once or twice since the majority of markets bottomed back in late 2008 and early 2009. So we've seen that losses have been paired, and that instruments which should benefit from a flight to quality have not taken off in the same way that would be reflective of a panicky sell-off. So the prognosis continues to look like this is a reversionary move, and that we're probably being set up for the next big buying opportunity within medium-term uptrends. If nothing else, the fact that oil continues to pull back, and it did pair, it also paired its loss today, but was down by $1.58, and went down and had a look at the $80.50 area earlier on today. Well, oil is not surging in here. Even if these volcanic eruptions in Europe are finished, well, that's all well and good, and we can get back to business as usual. And if they continue, that will also help to delay any tightening measures that could have been put in place or will be put in place in the UK and Europe. And outside of that, monetary conditions remain extraordinarily accommodative. The lawsuit against Goldman Sachs is perhaps speculative. When you look through that prospectus, and I posted it in comment of the day today, it doesn't appear to be substantially different from other subprime prospectuses I've seen in the last few years. And I think it's probably going to be rather difficult to make it stick in court that the that investors were, or that there was a subterfuge on investors. I think what there is the implicit obfuscation that banks probably did know that what they were packaging together really was garbage, and the bull market probably clouded the minds of a lot of investors, and it's as obvious from reading any of these prospectuses that investors couldn't possibly have been reading these prospectuses and buying the instruments, which would suggest that during the bull market, people simply were not reading prospectuses. And that doesn't say much for your average institutionals, whoever bought these, level of due diligence. But that type of activity is very characteristic of what happens in any big bull market, where people begin to monetize their profits rather than concentrating on the validity of the arguments that are supporting the bull. So it will be interesting to see to what extent the litigators can get this suit to stick to Goldman or indeed any of the other investment banks, but certainly it is very bad PR for these institutions, and that could check the advances for the sector, particularly those banks that are named in any lawsuits. But on the other hand, you had Citigroup coming out today with really quite impressive earnings results. UBS also came out with good results on Friday. So this is an interesting time for the banking sector because sentiment is likely to continue to deteriorate with regard to these institutions, particularly as revelations continue to appear about the things that went on during the credit boom. But on the other side, we can see that balance sheets are beginning to improve, and particularly those regional banks, which won't have been associated with the malfeasance really at all. And they paired their loss and actually finished up on the day today. And while they remain relatively overextended compared to the 200-day moving average, they continue to extend this breakout from their base and really look quite consistent. And provided regional banks are continuing to do to perform in line or better than the wider market, that really is good news for the bull market or the medium-term bull market generally. So while we remain now in probably a corrective phase, which is reactionary at the moment and probably worst case scenario for some of the better performing markets, we're going to see a reaction towards the mean. Because monetary conditions remain so extraordinarily accommodative, the chances are that we will be presented with a reasonably good buying opportunity over the next weeks and months, rather than a big topping formation, which there doesn't appear to be any evidence for right now. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.